So it was spring of this year, the part of spring that's still cold, but hopeful. Not that we have a whole lot to complain about, although there's some snow out there today. And I knew there was something wrong with my little car. I drive a little Hyundai. And I was actually coming to church after lunch, go home for lunch. And there was a little slush on the roads. That's what kind of time of spring it was. And the car just suddenly felt weird, like it wasn't pulling the way it was supposed to. I pulled in, off in the police parking here to trap you guys when you're driving too fast, just in case, watch when you drive by. And I pulled in and looked around, got out and looked around and saw one of my wheels was off, so I took it home, jacked it up. Those of you who don't know, I was Mr. Good Wrench for 6 years before I went into ministry, so I do all the, I paid for one auto repair, and it was an AC issue. And got it up in the lower control arm. If you don't know what that is, don't worry about it, but if you do, it was rusted out right near the ball joint, and it actually had broken loose and was hanging on by a thread. And I thought, well, this is easy. Lower control arms, they sell them as on an assembly. I'll advertise rockauto.com. They're not U.S.-made parts, but they're cheap. And when you're on a budget, you know, ordered the thing, and it's simple. There's one bolt that holds the ball joint on. There's a bolt here and a bolt here, and the whole thing comes off, and you pop it on. Well, guess what? It wouldn't come off. It was the bolt was frozen inside of the bushing. Heat is needed, and all that. And then the way the Hyundai made this car, the crosswise bolt at the front of that was a hidden nut welded inside the frame or in a little pocket inside the frame. Well, guess what that thing did? Turned and turned. I was frustrated and facing this problem that should have been easy. I've done a bunch of these. I look forward to it when somebody says, because I help some people who can't afford it sometimes fix cars. I love it when they say, what's that? And I find it's a lower control arm. Man, we'll have you out of here in a half hour. And I was on my third day, I think, and finally I had to cut a hole in the frame, and I had to get that thing in there and spray penetrating oil and apply heat, and I finally got it all out, got it all together, and then I'm just checking over, and I see this funny bump in the frame, and I start banging on it with a little hammer, and what I found was a hole in the frame. Now, this would have been the third car in the last 6 years that had a broken frame. One, while I was driving up a hill at Covenant Hills, I heard it snap. And anyway, so I was able to get a piece of old lawnmower blade and shape it just right and weld it in there. It looks, it didn't involve the corners of the frame, so the integrity was still there, and I was able to cover that up. Why I tell you this story when we're talking about trouble is because I was so angry at how long it was taking me and the trouble I had, but if I wouldn't have had that trouble, I wouldn't have taken the time to examine that frame, and I'd have been driving around, the hole was that big. In a Hyundai frame, they're not very big, and I could have been driving down the road when that frame broke. And so we're in the place in our series, this is just the second week in, where we're going to talk about that light in the tunnel, that purpose, that the trouble we face, God is using. That's what last week was about. We talked about how Jesus came and transferred trouble from being only consequences of sin and the broken world we live in into something he uses in our lives for good. That's what we're talking about today. Now, as this unfolds, more topics are occurring to me. I'm up to 6 weeks this morning, two more, as I'm worshiping in here, and two more in the progression, because let's face it, trouble is real, and trouble is troubling. Actually, next week we're going to talk about how troubling trouble is, because we need to admit that. That's one of the necessary steps on the way. But today we're talking about some of the ways God uses trouble in our lives to give us hope, to give us a little light, to help us to hold on, because it's not easy. It's not like that. You can just wish or think or act your way out of feeling the sense of trouble. Matter of fact, just a little review from last week. Most of this is not on your handout if you have one of those. We define trouble, the two words used in the Bible, one that means pressure and one that means the sense of that pressure that you feel. That's called suffering. So there's trouble and suffering or pressure and suffering. And it's roadblocks to peace. Pastor Mike just prayed about how he can keep us in perfect peace. Well, trouble can be a roadblock to peace. but it also can be a way that we find peace. We talked about the fact last week that what happened when sin entered the world was broken relationships. The relationship between God and man was broken, and then all the others, you see them, I don't know if you see them up there or not, they're not in your handout, but you can see them when you go to our website. This is posted on Facebook, by the way, too, on our church Facebook page. You can find the handout from last Sunday, and you can see it not filled in, and you can watch last week's, and you can go back and look at that on our website, lfmchurch.net, weekend connections, recent connections, and it'll be right there. I try to get those posted by the end of Monday. Sometimes that doesn't work. But how we talked last week about how because Jesus came and changed what trouble was, we now start having our relationships restored. The first one is that restored relationship with God when we accept Christ as our Savior. And so we have a couple of verses. I told you last week one verse is going to be our series verse, but two of them are actually going to be our series verses now. John 16:33 is the first one. Jesus speaks, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace." Here's that subject that is connected to trouble again. "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And that's what he did to begin to restore the relationship so all the rest of the relationships can find restoration. Our spirit with our body, those two different time-sequenced parts of who we are, people with themselves, people with other people, and even the earth we live on with people, and how we can find hope and light and help. We're singing this morning's songs. I'm jotting notes when we were warming up. I jotted some notes while we were singing here this morning too. "Great are you, Lord. Declare Jesus, you are life, you are love, you give light in the darkness." And that's what Jesus brings us. And the second verse is Romans 8:28, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So we're going to take a little time to take that verse apart, just a few terms, and then I'm going to give you some examples of how trouble can be used for good in your life. But let's set the stage with looking at this verse just a little bit. So probably all of you or most of you know this verse in some form or fashion. Sometimes we claim that it means he doesn't give us things we can't handle. That is not a biblical teaching, by the way. We have things we can't handle all the time. That's why we need God. And he does that in our lives. But it says that God works. God is actively involved in expending energy. And the word used for works is the word from which we get the word synergy. Maybe there's actually trucks that have synergy on it. If you're driving down the highway, it's a company, it's a concept, maybe overused. It means that the interaction of separate elements whose combined effect or outcome is greater than the sum of the individual elements. That's kind of wordy, isn't it? It means that what is contributed by one element is magnified when it's put with others, so the outcome is more than it could ever have been. I found a practical example, and maybe you've seen this. It's been going around the internet on Facebook and other places. It's about a farmer who was asked to pray over the men's breakfast by the pastor. We had men's breakfast here yesterday morning. And the farmer stood, and everybody bowed their heads, and the farmer said, "Lord, I hate buttermilk." And the pastor was going, "Dang, I shouldn't have asked this guy to pray. I don't know where he's going with this." And the farmer said, "Lord, I hate lard." And the pastor was going, I'm going to have to stand up and stop this guy praying hate and hate. And then the farmer went on and said, "And Lord, you know I don't care much for raw white flour. But Lord, when you mix them all together and bake them up, I do love fresh biscuits." That synergy, where the parts by themselves can bring forth some good, but man, when you mix them together, yum, where biscuits are concerned, or bacon, or anyway. That synergy, and Paul shares with us that God is working different elements in our lives, including the trouble, to bring an outcome like biscuits. Maybe not quite that on the face of it. God works, so he's doing this synergistic thing in our life, using all the elements, nothing he wastes, that helps us. So that helps us right off the front. That helps us when we're facing difficulty. He works for the good. What is beneficial? what is pleasant, joyful, happy, excellent, honorable. So there's a set of those words that indicate what he's doing with them is going to feel good or seem good. I'm going to see the good, but I love that the word beneficial is in there too, because not all things that are good for us are all that pleasant. There's just a requirement for some of the things in our lives to, you know, apply ourselves and give effort, and they don't feel good, and eventually they lead to something that might. But God is working for the good. So we see here that God uses trouble to bring positive outcomes. Now you notice it says those who have been called. We're going to talk about that more in a little bit. So if you have your hand up, we're going to look at the positive outcome categories. Now, these aren't exhaustive, but hopefully these will be helpful and get you thinking. How many of you are compiling your trouble list? Anybody willing to admit that? Nobody will. Okay, thanks, Jill. We asked you at the end of service last week, and if you weren't here and you didn't watch, or maybe you don't know, but I'm encouraging you to write down your troubles, a list of all your troubles, the smallest ones you can think of and the largest ones. Well, this week I'm asking for you to start looking at that list in light of what we're sharing here in categories and starting to pray, Lord, what do I need to know about what you're doing so I can face this trouble and be victorious? Triumph over trouble. Trouble is our series title. And start aligning the troubles you have and thinking in terms of how could this be beneficial? That practice is going to come into play. I think in 2 weeks we're going to be talking about how to walk through trouble, what you can actually do to help trouble lose its negative impact and gain its purpose that God has in mind. But first, today, some positive outcome categories. Number one, redemptive. They all end, if you have a handout, in I-V-E, T-I-V-E, redemptive. So this is the one that I'm not talking about today that applies to the people who have not yet accepted Christ. And the rest of them I'm really applying to people who are walking with Jesus. Redemptive, that is, there are troubles that Jesus uses, that God uses to reveal our need of him. I don't know if you've ever had a loved one you prayed that about or for. Lord, bring them to the bottom of the barrel so that all they can see is you. I got one that I'm currently praying that for. We see that in the life of the jailer who had Paul and Silas in prison in the book of Acts, and they were rejoicing and singing hymns all the night, and God did a miracle and opened all the doors and loosened all the chains, and the jailer came in. And we pick up the story. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. That's trouble. His task was to keep the prisoners in the jail, and his perception that trouble came his way is that everyone was gone, and he was ready to do himself in. But God used, now I don't have printed here, read, you know, always take these outlines or look at them online and read further along in the context of the passages that are shared to find out more about the story. We find out that it was God moving in this miraculous way that looked like my life's not worth living anymore because of this trouble, and it showed him that God is in charge and that God loves, and he and his whole family became Christians and were baptized. That's one of the first early acts of in the life of the church in that outside sense that wasn't a result of someone directly saying, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. We have people in our lives who face trouble, and God uses it to show them that he's there. Second is formative. Formative. So that means you're being formed into something. And of course, in our context, the formation is Jesus. And he models it. A, is he modeled by Jesus? Hebrews 2:10, God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader fit to bring them into their salvation. Now, we don't have time to go into this verse and its interesting offerings. Jesus complete came but had to go through suffering to prove himself to be who he claimed to be and go through our experience in a sense. And Jesus modeled that God uses trouble to accomplish a positive purpose. So he modeled it, and then B, we follow in his path because we're called to be like him. Paul stated it here in Romans 8:29. So one of our series verses is Romans 8:28, and this one follows right behind it. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Of all the things, now that's a pretty pithy verse too. We could spend some time on that, but for the purposes of our discussion on trouble and its purposes in God's hands, everyone who says, yes, I want to follow Jesus, God says, well, then you're going to be becoming like him. And Jesus went through it, so we go through it. And the troubles he used, just like the troubles that Jesus faced, he had a troubled life. He faced so much trouble that they killed him, right? We will face trouble because we're being formed into his image. So he models it, we follow it, and then see, we submit to the process. And let's agree, submission is not the end. Submission in itself is a process. It's a life process of submitting and being submitted. And then being made aware that I have unsubmitted something or there's something I left out of my submission and bringing that to him. It's a lifelong process. So Paul again writes in Romans chapter 5, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. So submission requires endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. Character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. So we're saying, in effect, the problems you are using, God, I don't want to just avoid them. And we're going to talk a little bit about that next week when we talk about the trouble with trouble. But we don't want to just be, and it is a hallmark of our culture that any trouble that is perceived, the reaction and the counsel is to get out of it, get away from it. Don't even consider that it could be used. Don't even think about that. It must be bad because it's trouble. It doesn't make you feel the way you want to feel, so it must be bad. We submit to this process, and so we're running into these problems, and we're being developed. So we have redemptive outcomes, that's the word I'm looking for. Redemptive outcomes of trouble. We have formative outcomes of trouble. Oh, and here's the second half. I didn't share this one. James 1, 2, and 4, under submitting to the process. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Again, it is submitting. Number four, now this is a little bit of a stretch, but we pastors, we have to do these devices to help remember. And so this, I needed another T-I-V-E word, indicative. And so the root word is indicate. Troubles show us where we're at. They help us see where we're at. God uses them, let me put it that way, to show us where we're at. So in 1 Peter, Peter is talking to followers of Jesus when he says, that is close followers. They're endeavoring to follow. They're submitting. They're in that process and all of the effort that entails. When he says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. In other words, the trouble came because I'm following Jesus. And the kind of suffering and trouble that Jesus endured will be the kind of trouble and suffering that I endure as someone who follows after Jesus. So that's another, what, candle in the darkness? Another positive thought, truth, to help us when trouble seems overwhelming and pointless. Because that's, frankly, that's the worst part of trouble, is when it feels like no point. It's just trouble. And of course, we know because of sin in the world, that there is some of that too. But here, Peter says, rejoice. Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And then he said, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. That's the tough third That's one of my favorite verses that I pray often, but that's the tough part of it to say. And I want to participate in your sufferings because it indicates I'm on the right track. And something we just shared a couple weeks ago when we had communion from 1 Corinthians 11, and Paul is talking about a church that is fighting and not really following God and submitting to the process of being like Jesus. And he said, "For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died." Here, it was indicative of a falling away. Something is happening. The problems in your life are happening. And this is not the positive evidence that you're following Jesus. This is the evidence that you're following yourself. And it's affecting you in different ways. In their case, it was health and sometimes even life. These are just examples. These are not like, this doesn't describe every trouble or how every trouble manifests itself in our life. So we have redemptive, to bring people to Jesus. We have formative, to make them like Jesus. They have indicative, that shows that you're actually in that process or whether you're not in that process. And last this morning, communicative. Troubles we go through so that we can pass along what God has done to other people who are facing trouble. And that's just a perfectly stated for us in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. This is a passage often used in a memorial service because people are facing a certain kind of need for comfort. But don't we all need comfort in any trouble? I mean, it's helpful when somebody comes alongside of me when I'm having a struggle and offers me some comfort and maybe a word about what they faced. Although if you ever see me struggling with a car, don't come anywhere near. I want to be alone, and believe me, you want me to be alone. I'll work it out. Paul writes, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us." So this just talks about one subject, comfort, but the truth and principle in this is every trouble I face builds something in me to help someone else in a trouble that's similar when they face it. So Tony called us out for community in a positive way. I don't mean that in a negative. Reminded us the value of the body. That's the value. One of the values of the body. In this group, if we were able to have time to honestly say, what are your troubles? You'd list real trouble. I'm not even talking about the ones that we have to go, and that's not real trouble. I mean real troubles. You would probably see some gasps, and people would be going, I need to go talk to them. That happens to me all the time when I'm listening to somebody else preach. They've been through something that I'm facing. I need to go talk to them because I'm stymied. I'm stumped. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go with this. And that's the beauty is, we don't lose our humanity when we accept Christ. When we surrender fully and are fully filled, we are still human. And he put us in here because we need one another to be able to share those things. So, this is a hint. That's all this is today, a hint of the kinds of ways God can use troubles in your life for positive outcomes. Some for you, some including you and some others. And there's all sorts of kinds of trouble. Now, I have a little kind of a suggestion for reading. I'd call it an assignment, but that usually doesn't, sit very well with anybody. We're going to be looking at the story of Joseph in a couple weeks and how he faced the trouble of his life and walked in victory, and that's in Genesis 37, chapter 37, and chapters 39 through 41. And if you have a handout, that I don't know if I wrote that down or not, but you're going to want to write that. Genesis 37 and chapters 39 through 41. Chapter 38 just kind of departs from the story of Joseph for a little bit. And then we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. But that's in a couple weeks, because next week we really need to talk about trouble really being trouble, and there's a real something going on. It's not something that anyone should call you to shrug off and say, that's not troubling, because God has it all. Now, that's a great response. That sounds holy, doesn't it? And that sounds like all I have to do is declare it. But God knows our struggle and trouble, and we are on a pathway to find victory, and it takes It takes effort, it takes time, it takes input from us, and so I'm going to encourage you to do that. So if you haven't started your list, start your list of troubles. Now, this isn't that you call all your friends and tell them all your troubles. I'm actually going to talk about that too next week, or actually in 2 weeks, but it is for you to define those things that you call troubling. One of the things that will happen as you make that list is you'll probably drop a few things. You initially think, well, that's a trouble, and then you go back, well, you know, that's not really a trouble, because effort doesn't equal trouble. We'll have to talk about that. We don't have time today. We're going to talk about that. So work on that list, and then with this outline and asking God to reveal you more, because all I can offer is a sampling. The way God uses trouble for positive outcomes in our lives, I wouldn't say is endless, but it's longer than this. He wants you to know, and with one another, he wants you to know that there are purposes and ways for you to walk in triumph over trouble and allow him to do the positive outcomes in your life. Peace, what Pastor Mike prayed about. We've defined trouble as roadblocks to peace. The more I seek him, I want to melt in your peace. What a significant line. He's leading us to do that. Because in this world, we will have trouble, but what did he say about that? I have told you this so that you can have peace. So it is as we expand our knowledge of what he's doing that we'll find more and more peace. Do you need peace? I need peace. Let's stand. As I pray, the praise team will come up. And we'll close with a doxology. Lord, of all the things that we can disagree with theologically and differing interpretations, we can all agree that this world is full of trouble. Now, we may have different ideas about what to do about that and with that. And as we journey through this, I pray for that enlightenment and revelation personally we need in our personal trouble. But I also pray for our corporate understanding of trouble as a church body. And I know we have people from other churches that visit too, and in their corporate church bodies, because we're families who face common things. And then once we gain a history kind of what we've been through and what we're facing, and we find some people who've just come out of one trouble and it seems like they're catapulted right into another. And this can be so disturbing in this world where we see things, especially from a Christian standpoint, become less and less about you and your and the truth, and more about personal definitions of truth. Lead us to be able to have the proper kingdom context of trouble and know there's a certain portion of that is just going to remain troubling in this world, and in the next we know that will be gone. But there's so much you're doing, so much you're working at, promoting synergy in our lives, all the ingredients of our lives, the positive and the negative, to help us surrender, know you, and follow you. Help us develop these lists of troubles and start to see, Lord, speak to us about what you may be doing to help us improve, be better, find you more deeply, minister to one another, and make our connections here and overcome the relationship breaks that sin caused by submitting things to you in this world. Lead us in that. But I pray, Lord, for people who are outside of this umbrella that you say are called. That first step to come into a place where trouble can even make sense and be positive in our lives. Anyone who doesn't know you personally, who hasn't decided that they're going to follow you. You will be their leader. You will be the one who directs their life, and your word will be that resource because you've given it to us so we can know how to deal with the negative things in this life. Help them, Lord, today to say, I'm going to follow Jesus today. And I pray, Lord, you urge them to tell someone else, whether it's a member of our congregation or another congregation they're a part of or another family member, that they wouldn't be alone. As Tony reminded us, we're not here to be alone in all this. We're here to share and find that you have places you're leading us. So thank you for our time together in this momentary dip into your word. Lead us to the more full passages and more meaningful to each of us, and help us to commit our troubles to you, knowing what you can do for them to draw us closer. And we commit all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.